Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, on this wonderful Sunday night, we, your people, lift up our hearts and our minds in thanksgiving unto you for all the beauty and the grace that you have made manifest among us. Thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercy, your understanding, your forgiveness. And Heavenly Father, for time and time again covering for us with all the beauty of your power and grace. Thank you for your wonderful love. And may this be a tremendous night for our children, our young people, and our adults. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, please. Dead history is a written record of the past, of what others were and what others did. Living history is a record of who we are in Christ Jesus and what we can do with Christ in us and where we can do it, which is always the eternal history now. Tonight, living history. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 6, the Word of God declares, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." All of us were dead in trespasses and sins, without God and without hope, as all men have been through the centuries and history of time. And when men were without strength, meaning they were dead in trespasses and sins, without God and without hope, in that particular time, Christ came, God's only begotten Son, and He died for those who were ungodly, including us. And that's a tremendous truth, realizing we were without strength. We were without that greatness of that ability that is necessary to manifest a life that's more than abundant in every segment and in every category. And in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 16 of Ephesians 3, we read, that He would grant you or give you according to the riches of His glory. Talking about our Father God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That He would give us according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened, to be made strong, spiritually saved with Christ in us, the hope of glory, which is our strength. Christ in us, strengthened with might by His Spirit, by the Spirit of Him in the inner man, which is God in Christ, in us, the hope of glory. In Philippians chapter 4, and in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Another translation reads, I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. That again is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The dynamis. In Colossians chapter 1, it says in verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. Strengthened with all might, God's might in Christ Jesus, which is in you. According to His, God's, glorious power. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, this record of Timothy declares something that is very timely in all of our lives. Verse 17. In the midst of a great opportunity, Paul declares, which is the word of God, the mystery, in part involved in the mystery, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me and did what? Strengthen me. The Lord stood with him and strengthened him. So no matter what situation we are in, the Lord will do what? Stand with us. The Lord will stand with us. And when the Lord stands with us, he is going to strengthen us. That we are able to meet any situation being more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loved us and who gave himself for us. It is he who strengthens us. Because of the Christ in us, the hope of glory, the Lord stood with me. I wonder if any of these great truths ever really become so dynamic in our souls that we just literally believe it. The Lord stood with me. If you had an earthly father that owned the state of Ohio, the state wherein you're seated tonight here at the Biblical Research Center, do you think maybe that father could do something for you? How far we've lived below par when God is our Father who created the heavens and the earth. And he sent his Son representing him, who is Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Lord stood with me. And the Lord what? Strengthened me. Living history by men and women of God literally lifts the curtain and the veil of revelation of who and what we really are and can do with Christ in us, the hope of glory. Our ability, because we stand in his presence, in the relationship of a son or a daughter, a son of God, he being our father. I believe in my heart that the reason for all creation was that God wanted a companion. He wanted companionship. He wanted sons and daughters, sons of God. He wanted born again. He wanted believers who would walk in alignment and harmony with him, who would love him as a child would love a wonderful father. I believe that's the whole purpose of creation. I believe that's the purpose of the redemption. Why he sent Jesus Christ. For God so loved that he sent. So that he could have a companionship. Men and women who would worship him. Men and women who would serve him. He is our Father. We are his children. A true father enjoys the companionship of his children. How blessed I got tonight to tell you that this is the third generation of the Werewills starting into the class called Power for Abundant Living. Look how that blessed me. And I'm just a frail human being, an earthly father. Look how tremendous our heavenly Father must feel in the companionship that his sons and daughters have with him when they worship him, serve him, walk in the light as he is the light. What a tremendous thing, people, to know that God is our Father and that we are his children. He who created the heavens and the earth, sets the stars in their courses. He is our Father. Tremendous. You see, our ability, because of our standing in the family, in his presence, because of our relationship, our sonship rights, makes it so that we are writing the history of the moment as well as the history of the future. We are like footprints in this moment of time, making the future as bright as the distance we walk now. In Philippians chapter 3, listen to verse 10. That I may know him, Jesus Christ of God. Verse 9. That I may know him, God, through his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. That I may know to the end of experiencing it. Literally know, not just mouth, not just talk, not just verbalizing it, but that I may know by experience, literally knowing the power of his resurrection. What God wrought in Christ, in the resurrecting of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. People, just think about it for a moment. If God can take a man, Jesus Christ, and after he's been dead 3 days and three nights, to raise him from the dead, is there anything he cannot do for his living children today? But we have allowed the world to talk us out of it. We've allowed religion to talk us out of it. We've allowed the negatives with which we're so tremendously surrounded to take precedent over the truth of the greatness of God's Word. That most of us as Christians lives far below par all of our lifetime. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And you know, that's set in the context of the fabulous truths of the book of Philippians. Let me call your attention to verse 7. For what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for what? The world conditioned you to count those things that make for gain for you. How can I be promoted? How can I have more of this, more of that, more of this? How can I have more prestige? How can I have more power in the world? How may I be recognized more by the world? The Word says, those things that were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. He said nuts to the whole bunch of baloney for Christ. I count all things but loss, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. The knowledge of Christ Jesus, which you can only get for the word, from the Word. The knowledge of Christ Jesus. That should be your goal. That should be your desire. That should be your drive. All the rest of the things you count but loss. It's just a bunch of dung. But when that takes precedent, when those things take precedent over the knowledge of God, you will always live below par. He says that in verse 8, latter part, do count them but what? Dung. That I may win Christ. To win Christ is to have the knowledge. To have the knowledge. The knowledge. And that I may be found, verse 9, in him. Not having my own what? Right, for we were all dead in trespasses and sins. Honey, what we have today, we have only because of God's grace and God's mercy, people, in this ministry. We have a core today only because of God's grace and God's mercy. We have a WOW program only because of God's grace and God's mercy. We have almost 400 people on the staff here at International because of God's grace and God's mercy. Once upon a time, it was just Rhoda Becker Weirwill and myself on the staff. Before Rhoda came, it was VP, staff. That's right. I never know anything about bookkeeping, baby, but I had to learn it. Real difficult problem because our first year's total income was $213. But I had to learn it. I had to even learn debit and credit. Who do you think I learned it from, Uncle Harry? Asked him. He taught me. Today, almost 400 on the staff here at International alone. People, it's got to be God's grace, and it's got to be God's mercy. Be found in him, not having my own what? That's right. But the righteousness of God which is in Christ Jesus, which is imputed and reckoned to us by his grace class and by his mercy. And it's by way of the faith, the believing of Christ, which is the righteousness of whom? Verse 10 is that one I just read, that I may know him and the power of his what? Right. Verse 12, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect in my walk in this world, but I search after, I work after, I follow after, that I may apprehend, katalambano, manifest, that for which also I was apprehended of Christ Jesus when he moved in. When I was born again, the miracle of all miracles that Cliff sang about tonight. A man dead in trespasses and sins, without God and without hope, born again in a moment of time, having eternal life and all eternity to be rewarded and walk in the greatness of that reward. He says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself as to have it apprehended. But this one thing I what? Do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Oh, if you could only believe that. Forgetting the things that are behind. Those things that have bothered you 1 second, 1 year, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Forgetting the things that are behind. Reaching out unto those things which are out there. I press onward toward the mark of the prize of the upward calling. High is the upward calling of God in whom? Christ Jesus. What a tremendous impression upon the history of the moment you and I make when we walk with the greatness of God's Word in our life. By taking your place in the family of God and say, I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I'll be what the Word of God says I'll be. And I want to tell you what the Word of God says you are, what the Word of God says you will have, what the Word of God says you will be absolutely contrary to what the world says. You just have to make up your mind, is the world right or is the Word right? I made up my mind many years ago. I believe the Word. And I've staked my whole life in believing, and my walk and my thinking and my discipline, my mind, my work, all on the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. And sir, I think I got a better, logically, a better ground of security than you have if you take your life upon any human being or upon the history of any secular writer or world situation. I believe we have a surer foundation in the Word to set our believing on than any other man or group of men or organization. The way ministry is not built upon a man. The way ministry is built upon the integrity and the accuracy of God's Word. And the Word declares, people, that every jot and tittle of it will be fulfilled. I believe God's Word. That's why we are making history. We're not dead history. We are living history tonight. We are men and women on the move for God, moving with the greatness of the power of God within our souls and moving, making history in the now. And I said, wherever our footprints in this moment of time are stepping, we will make the future as bright as the distance we walk now. In 1 Corinthians, very familiar verse in chapter 1. Verse 30, 29 tells us no flesh should glory in His presence. Even if you're a 34, no glory in His presence. But, verse 30, of God, God your Father, of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now, people, you either got to believe this or call God a liar. As I've taught you, like in the foundational class, either John 3:16 is true or it isn't. If it isn't true, then God is a what? Well, the same is here. Either this is true or God's a liar. And if God's a liar, His Word's a liar, then we should just chuck the whole thing and say to hell with it. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go to hell, that's when you chuck the Word. When we do not believe the Word, we develop all those hellish problems in our individual lives. And whenever it's developed in an individual life, it's developed in a nation. Because nations are made up of people. A nation is never any better than the individual believer in that nation. The strength of a nation is its individuals. And it says in every Bible, yours, mine, every Bible, every translation, but of Him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus. And God is made unto us what? Wisdom. God is made unto us righteousness. God is made unto us sanctification. God is made unto us what? Redemption. Look at Ephesians, people. Bless God. Living history tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, Past tense makes it a present reality for everybody. Who hath blessed us. He has blessed us with all, with every spiritual blessing. He has blessed us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, is that God's word? God's word is God's will. So are we blessed? That's right. So act like it. If your daddy was the governor of the state, you blow your buttons. How about God? He's better than any governor. He's bigger than any governor. He created all the heavens and the earth, and he is my father. Why not blow our buttons for God? You see, you're afraid. Take PFAL, first session. You're afraid what the neighbors may say, or Johnny Jump Up, or Henry Bloke, or your wife, or cousin, or uncle, or grandma. Hey, they didn't institute what you are. God did in Christ Jesus. Who is my father, my mother? They that do the will of God. People, we've gotten talked out of this thing. To the end that most Christians just go through life terrible Christians. Emaciated, defeated, frustrated, full of fear, and always hiding their head. For they do not dare to say what the Word of God says. Because the neighbor said, oh, you're a hypocrite. You're an egotist. Is that right? If my daddy's a governor and I say he's my daddy, am I an egotist? Hey, you darn sure say it if your daddy was the governor of the state. What about God Almighty who created the heavens and the earth? Why not say it, people? Why not just say it? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. 1 John, remember, or 3 John, wherever it is. It's in the book, I know it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know, not quite. But what he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. People, why don't we just again say what the word says, walk on what the word says, and to hell with the world and everybody else who contradicts the word. That's living history. Otherwise, you're already writing it dead. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Already blessed. Well, Holy Hannah, why don't you walk like it? Why don't you say you're blessed? Why don't you act it? Why don't you smile every week? Once, anyways. Blessed with every what? It's too big for the human mind to comprehend, but it's not too big to apprehend. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. Oh, my, look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness? It's exceeding what? Greatness. It's exceeding greatness. Now, greatness is great. It's great in the plural. That's greatness. But God in Christ in you is exceeding what? Greatness. Of his power, of God's power, which is the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Exceeding greatness of his power to us word. And it's only contingent upon one thing. Next word. What? Belief. So we've been talked out of it, haven't we? We believed. Everybody believed, but we haven't believed that. So we believe something else. We haven't believed that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. We mouthed it. But the mouth is one thing, many times the heart is different. It's what you have in the heart. God looks on the heart, not on your lips. What comes from your mouth looks on the heart. Blessed with every spiritual blessing, exceeding of the greatness of his power. to us who do one thing, and that is believe. Believe what? Believe His Word. Believe that what He said He meant, and what He meant He said. And that we are what the Word of God says we are. That we are who we are. We are where we are. We are what we are because of God. In Philippians chapter 2, in Philippians 2:13, brethren, no, it's 3:13, 2:13. It is God, it is God, it is God, which worketh where? Ladies and gentlemen, that's the God who created the heavens and the earth. He's at work within you, but you've got to believe, you've got to believe. God's at work within you. God at work. The same God, honey, who created the heavens and the earth. Sir, the same God who set the stars in their courses. The same God who's the ruler of all history and of all time. At work within you. Yes, you. Little measly old you. Not so measly. The world is what makes us feel measly. We feel Betty Buggy or something. Because the world keeps telling us we don't amount to much. They keep degrading us. They tell us to be sin conscious and all the rest of the junk. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living history when we believe the Word. The Word. The Word. God is at work within you. God's at work within you. Both to will and to do. Sometimes will and do are separated. But now with God, God is at work within you to will and to do. He not only gives you the desires of your heart and your stupid head, but He gives you the ability to get it. I honestly believe, people, that biblically there is no thought concept you ever have, if you're in alignment and harmony with God now, you know, perpendicular, but that desire, that guidance, that light in your head that is given there, you can accomplish. What you can think, you can bring into fruition. Because it's God, sir, in Christ, in you, the hope of glory. And God's at work within you. And God's no nincompoop, people. He is the creator of heavens and earth. It is that God who's at work within you to will and to do His good pleasure. What pleases a father any more than to have a son who loves him? A son that he does not have to control and propel and push around, but one who just loves him and blesses daddy's life by his walk, by his action, by his testimony, by what he does. What about our Heavenly Father? God at work within you, people. To will and to do His good pleasure. Rock of Ages, will and do is good pleasure. Wow, will and do. Core, will and do. Leaf on a twig, will and do. His good what? Amen. Well, don't cool off on Monday, tomorrow on this. At least believe it through Monday. Try it. If we ever really believe God's Word 7 days a week, we would literally move the Word over the world. They could not stop it, for it's God's Word, people. We're still mouthing it. Colossians, bless your hearts. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are what? Complete in Him. Who is the head, which means He's over the top of, over all principality, and what? You are what? Complete. You're what?
Complete.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's either God's word or it isn't. And if you're complete, you are what?
Complete.
Then why get talked out of it tomorrow morning? The man that'll talk you out of it or the woman that'll talk you out of it is not going to read you God's word like I'm reading it to you tonight. He or she is just going to mouth something to you. Not the word. I'm reading you the word of God. Not B.P. Wirral or Johnny Jumbo, but the word. This is what is written, ma'am. This is God's word. It is written. Far beyond core, it's written. You are what? Complete. You're complete. And literally it reads, you are completely, absolutely, completely, complete in Him. And if you like to, you can put another 6 completes on it if it makes it any more complete. But ladies and gentlemen, when something is complete, it is what? We have just never dared to believe it. Because for fear what somebody else might say or think of us. Or do. You know, putting a bow tie on a dog won't change the dog. We tried it last night. We put one on Tick so he could go to the country western. But you know, that son of a gun ate every sandwich he could get to. Still pure Tick dog. If the neighbors say you're nuts, it won't make you nuts. Unless you believe what they say. The word says you're what? Complete. Doesn't say you're nuts. It says you're complete. Doesn't say completely nuts either. We're what? Complete. Complete with God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. God at work within you. We're complete. And ladies and gentlemen, when we're complete, we're complete. Then all we need to do is walk on it. Just declare it. Just say it. Believe it, and then we see the manifestation of it, the evidence of it. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. If any man is the word one, anyone, if anyone, well, are you in any one? You sure are. You're not two. You're one. If anyone, you, anyone, be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. He's a new creation. He is new creation, should be in a parenthesis. It's an explanation. You couldn't be in Christ without first Christ being in you. Christ in you is salvation. You in Christ is the walk. So you couldn't be in Christ in verse 17 without first having Christ in you. He's the new creation. Christ in you. You're dead in trespasses. Nothing in there. And in order to have Christ in you, something that's never been before, you have to use the word create. To create means to bring into existence that which has never been before. You've never had Christ in you. You never had Christ in you until you got born again. That's why the scripture talks about being created in Christ Jesus. This man in Christ, for him, old things are what? Sure, what the neighbors said, what everybody else says, those things are to be passed away, gone. You no longer pay attention, for you have a new Lord. Jesus Christ is your Lord. Because you confessed with your mouth, Jesus as what? Lord. That makes him part of the first part and every other part in my life and your life. He is our Lord. Christ my Lord. Behold, all things become what? New. to the end that we walk and believe the past is over. We start in a new walk. All things will become new. Verse 18, and all things new is in the text. All things new. All things new are of God, who hath, past tense, reconciled. Reconciled means brought together that which was separated. We were dead in trespasses and sins, without God and without hope. We were at loggerheads with God, at enmity with God, the Word says. But God reconciled it. He brought it back together. Reconciled us to Himself. By whom? Jesus Christ. Well, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Then, are you reconciled to God? Is God mad at you? Is God beating you? Is God laying sickness on you to make you better? Oh, what a bunch of devilish stuff. If you're reconciled in an earthly family. My daddy was angry at me a couple times when I was a boy. But he and I got reconciled. Not by his particular part, but on my part. Coming back to him, saying, Daddy, I'm sorry. We were reconciled. Then I could get the car again on Saturday night. Hey, if I can get a car on Saturday night, maybe God can give you a whole fleet of cars on Saturday night if we'd ever get reconciled and really believed it. Back in alignment and harmony. And you know something, when I had a need, I asked my earthly father. If I needed a dollar, I'd go to see my earthly father. He's my daddy. What about my heavenly father? Why don't I go to him instead of go to the government or go to the neighbor? Or run here, there, and yonder. Why not God, people? Not only has He reconciled us, but He did something I'd have never done if I'd have been God. I don't believe I would have. And He gave to us who are reconciled to Him the ministry. The ministry. The ministry of reconciliation, to see that other men and women are reconciled. Jesus Christ reconciled us to God. Now we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now then, He has given to us the ministry. To us the ministry. He's given it to us. People, if you got this peony and I gave it to you, I would no longer have it, right? Right now I got it. See? But if I gave it to you, I know God gave to us the ministry of what? Therefore, if anybody's ever going to be reconciled, who's going to do it? We are. Or God will sit up in heaven and weep because He's given us such power and we're not using it. Living so below par, we're not manifesting. People aren't being reconciled because we're not doing the ministry. It says in the latter part of verse 19, and He's committed to us the Word. You know what the Word is? Right here under my hands, right there on your, in your hands, on your lap. That is the Word. That's the Word that reconciles men and women, the Word of God, the Bible. That's what reconciles them. You teach them the Word. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing cometh by what? That's the only way people ever get believing. Have to go back to the Word. The Word, the Word, nothing but the Word. It's that Word He's committed to us. So if anybody's ever going to learn the integrity and accuracy of God's Word, it has to be from your lips. And you can't put anything out of your lips really truthfully if you haven't got it in your heart. So the first thing you have to do is get a handle on the Word of God. Get a handle on it. Know the Word. Get enough of the Word, you at least got something to talk about. The Word, the Word. He's committed to us. He's committed it to us. Remember? You got it. Now it's up to you to move it. He's committed to us the Word. And he made us ambassadors in verse 20. Now then, right now, not when we die, not in the sweet by and by, pie and pie in the sky business. Right now, right in the history of the moment of this time, right now, we are what? Ambassadors. We're ambassadors. Ambassadors to foreign nations are usually appointments as gifts for someone who supports somebody. Well, we're ambassadors because we support God and His Word. Right now, we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors. Not for some country. And boy, if you haven't lived long enough to know that when somebody is delegated as an ambassador to another country, the dignity, the prestige that goes with it, you're stupid. Boy, the dignity, the prestige that goes with us as being ambassadors for God. Ladies and gentlemen, when are we going to believe it? The only other type of ambassador could only be worldly, think momentary. And Paul declared, which is God's word, that he counted all things but dung like that for the excellency of the knowledge of the Word, the Word, the Word, and Christ in him, the hope of glory. Ladies and gentlemen, we are ambassadors. If you got an upset stomach, you're still an ambassador. If you got a hole in the umbrella, you're still an ambassador. Ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine how God looks upon you tonight? His ambassador? All because of verse 21. For God made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no what? That we ambassadors might be made what? The righteousness of God in him. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Has it got anything to do with color? Hell no. And we're still the only ministry I know in the world that teaches the truth on color. Like a lot of other stuff. Body, soul, and spirit. Form, made, and created. Outside of this ministry, there is no light that I know any place in the world along these lines. Why? Where do we get it from? The Word, the Word, the Word. This is the rule book. This is the text. And He magnified His Word above His name. We are ambassadors of the Word. Not only the written Word, but the revealed Word, Christ Jesus. We are ambassadors. God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's living history. I thank God you're a part of it. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for all your love and grace and mercy and your goodness, for all your blessing upon our lives. And Father, somehow or other, give us men and women who see the great beauty of your word and walk on it, to be able to manifest forth its word. Surely love you, Father, and thank you for all your grace and mercy to us through Christ Jesus. Amen.